about this and looked at this first part last time. We believe that the end of the world is approaching, and indeed it is. Kind of gave a thumbnail sketch, which I'll do again, about what we believe and hold to here at Olmsted Baptist Church, what we believe the Word of God bears out, that there will be tribulation, very well could be tribulation for the children of God, but understand tribulation is not the great tribulation, okay? The great tribulation, the Lord will rapture His saints out of the world. Those who are saved, those who are saved and dead, their bodies having been buried, will raise from the dead, and the Lord will give them that incorruptible body. We which alive and remain will be caught up in the clouds together to meet them, as it tells us in the Scriptures. And then there'll be a time of great tribulation, the Lord judging the world, the nations of the world, gathering them together, also dealing with His nation of Israel. And when the Lord comes in the clouds for His saints, He won't touch the ground then, okay, although it is the beginning of the coming of the Lord. And I believe even though that last time, 7 years or so, we can even refer to that as the day of the Lord, myself. Because that the Lord's going to start changing things, and He's going to really start revealing His kingdom. People are going to see it. Things like heaven being opened up and such as that. Those references I believe to be literal and true in Revelation. And then the Lord will come and set His feet on the Mount of Olives. He'll redeem Israel in a day. He'll save His nation. They'll look on Him whom they pierced. And the Lord will begin to reign for 1,000 years. The saints coming with Him, riding on white horses. That'll be something. Clothed in linen, white and clean. It'll be just wonderful. Coming with the Lord, watching Him fight. He'll fight with the word of His mouth. He's got a couple of battles that He'll fight there to rescue Israel. One or two battles, it seems. And then 1,000-year reign. Satan's bound up during that time. The time of salvation's past. There'll be folks that'll be born during that time. There'll be folks that'll live for hundreds of years during that time. The reign of the Lord on this old, sinful, messed up dirt ball. What man has done to it. The reign and the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, a reign of he'll rule and reign with a rod of iron, it says. It will be fantastic. Even the heathen will be blessed. They will multiply and prosper for 1,000 years. And then Satan is bound during that time. He'll be loosed. He'll gather them together. Those that have enjoyed the blessings of the Lord, the bounty of the Lord during that time. And then they'll gather again against the Lord and against His nation, His people, against Jerusalem, it seems. And Satan will sell a bill of goods. They'll buy into it, say, we can get them this time. But the Lord will go, phew, it'll be done. It'll be over with. The judgment of the damned will be then great white throne judgment, as we see in the Scriptures. Somewhere in through all that is the judgment seat of Christ. And Brother Mark's talking about heaven. Can't help but talk about eternity when you talk about heaven. Hard for us to understand all those kind of things when we're talking about the Lord living over there in eternity. But the Lord will judge the saints somehow, somewhere in through all that. And then there'll be the new heaven and the new earth. And we'll rule and reign with our Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. They just keep right on going. Be there 2 million years. Hard to think about 2 million years, isn't it? We just can't comprehend 2 million years. And it'll just be like we got started. Those who are without Christ, those that are in hell or in the lake of fire at that time, they'll be there forever and ever. And ever and ever. Don't buy in. Don't believe as the universalists believe and the universalists preach. Don't believe as even the Pharisees believe in a limbo. There's no limbo. You either have the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel for the salvation of your soul and the forgiveness of your sins and the atonement, the redemption, the righteousness, the justification that you need, or you have nothing, because nothing else will do. And so kind of a thumbnail sketch there of what we believe. It's said by some that the Scriptures that are referred to in this article are kind of more loose than what we would describe things. So that's the reason I'd like to give that sketch at the beginning, and then we'll address that as we go along here. We believe that the end of the world is approaching, that at the last day, Christ will descend from heaven, and raise the dead from the grave to final retribution. That a solemn separation will then take place, that the wicked will be adjudged to endless punishment and the righteous to endless joy, and that this judgment will fix forever the final state of men in heaven or hell on principles of righteousness. And remember, when the brother wrote this and put this confession together, he didn't see some things that you and I know about and have seen today. So by those things, and then by the blessing of the Lord, looking into the Scriptures, we see things. I think we see things, some things more clear than maybe they did a few hundred years ago, and beyond. And as we've talked to some recently, as time goes on, and the return of our Lord Jesus draws near. If we indeed are the generation that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, that we are that generation, then we'll see some things, I believe, we'll see some things that'll make the Scriptures even be more clearer. That's bad English. They'll become clearer to us because we'll see the things happening. And so we're thankful that the Lord has showed us what He's shown us, and if we need to know more, He will show us more and make it click and give us understanding of His Word. Says the second part says that at the last day Christ will descend from heaven, and so the last day, is there one day that the Lord will descend from heaven? Well, no, there's a time and a couple times that the Lord will descend from heaven. We understand it from the Scriptures. Acts 1:11, let's read. They look steadfastly towards heaven as the Lord Jesus Christ ascends up, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee," these are the angels standing, speaking to the disciples, "why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And so the Lord will come back for his saints. He won't touch the ground as he left the ground on this day, but he will come back, and even as if we take this passage as the Lord speaking to the Jews, the nation, they will see their Savior when He sets down His feet on the Mount of Olives and redeems them and delivers them. Revelation chapter 1, John is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and the revelation, Satan and that wicked ruler that exiled John to the Isle of Patmos, what a blessing we have from that trial of our brother. And he writes here, he gives his introduction, and behold, verse number 7 of Revelation 1, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Okay, and so that's talking about when the Lord comes and sets his feet upon the earth. There will be those that will wail. The children of Israel, the nation, the part of Israel, or all of Israel that is saved, they'll see him that which pierced him. That the nation will take responsibility, and they said, "We missed him, and there he is. Hallelujah! He's come to save us." All those promises that he made to our forefathers, to Abraham, all the way through the patriarchs, they're true. And at the time when men and when Satan and the way of the world would dissolve us, would obliterate us from the earth, our Redeemer has come. They'll see him. "And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Why is that? Because it's true that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And they will, the expression down in Arkansas, they will tear their shirt because they fought against that way, denying and doubting the Lord, and there will be nothing that they can do to escape the King, the Savior, the Judge is at hand, and none will escape. Indeed, they will wail because of Him, and they will grieve, knowing the doom that awaits them. In Hebrews chapter 9, So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He only needed to die once. He rose from the dead once. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He will not deal with sin anymore. He's dealt with it. It's done. And what is that salvation? Now see, this is not when he sets his feet on the ground at the Mount of Olives, but this is when he comes in the clouds for us, right? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and of them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Of course, this is a book written to the Jews. It benefits us. We learn and benefit much from it. And as the children of God, it is to us, okay? But the Jews aren't going to be looking for him. Okay? But when they see him, you know, they say, well, how will the Lord do that? Well, you know, just like the Lord saved us, one day the Lord blessed and we saw him. Here? We saw him by faith. We didn't see him with these eyes, but we saw him through the Scriptures. And we believed the Lord. We trusted the Lord. The Lord worked in us. He saved us. He moved with his Spirit and gave us that quickening that we would see him. He'll do the same thing for them. The thing is they'll see him physically. They'll see him physically. But this is for we who are looking for him. Okay? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The article says that at the last day Christ will descend from heaven. Well, in that 7 years or so time. Yeah, if you call that the last day. 7 years up against 6,000. Well, that's a really small kind of thing. You know, we'll see this about the judgments. Judgments are referenced in this article and scriptures about that. You know, as you're a long way away from a thing, if there's a general description about a thing and you're a long way away from it, it can look like two points are down there converged and together. But as you get closer to it or gain more detail about it, you can see that they're totally separate. Okay? So we need to understand that about the scriptures and the application of them. So, and understanding what our Lord is telling us. And so this is talking more about the rapture. You looking for the Lord today? Yeah, I need to be looking for him tonight, tomorrow. Okay, he's coming. And he'll appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Unto salvation. Brother Jim, I'm already saved. Yeah, sure you are. Your soul's saved. You got the Spirit of God living within. This old body's got to die. It's rotten. The old mind with it needs to go because it's rotten. But our salvation will be complete when our Lord gives us that new body like Christ. Mind like his. You know that junk floating around in there anymore in the mind? And a body that can serve the Lord 24/7, 365, 366 on leap year, through eternity. Can eat if you want to, don't have to. Amen. Can go to the worship service of the Lord and be there for 10,000 years and your back not hurt. Never get sleepy. It's hard to comprehend that, isn't it? But it's the way it'll be. We can go. We'll be as the angels. I the thought of that, you travel in a moment. During the millennial reign, I mean, we'll do the Lord's bidding. Whatever it is that he'll give us to do, we'll be able to do that. We'll be like the angels. We can move about like the Lord Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, the door being shut. There he was. But he wasn't a spirit, or as we would say in this day, a ghost, okay? But they gave him something to eat. They touched him. He was for real. But that was the power of God. And so, unto salvation, yeah, our souls are saved, but salvation will be complete when we have that new body. Wow. Something else. Acts chapter 3. And we have great hope in that. We're not hoping that that's so. Boy, I hope that really happens. That's not it. Now, we know it's so because our Lord's told us, and we have hope looking toward the accomplishing of it. Acts chapter 3, verse number 21. Whom the heaven must receive. Let's back up here. Peter are going to, and John are going to pray, and then they're preaching here. And Peter is preaching, okay? Let's back up to verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. So there's more things to be done, more sinners to be saved, work of the Lord's church to be done that the Lord had ordained and given a time for, and restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. All right? Whom heaven must receive until. Okay? So the Lord is there at the right hand of the Father because he's completed everything in regards to salvation that's needed. And he's waiting for the Father to say, go. Go. And the first time that the Father will tell the Son to go will be for the rapture of the saints. 1 Thessalonians 4, hallmark passage regarding these things. All right, and again, the coming of the Lord, okay? The article reads that at the last day, Christ will descend from heaven. If we take that day and we make it 24 hours, he will descend from heaven to rescue Israel and begin his reign, okay? But this passage is not talking about that. This passage is talking about a time before that when the Lord will come in the clouds to rapture out his children. So now if we look at the day of the Lord as being, I mean, there's an argument that you could even say that the day of the Lord's been the time since he came in the flesh, okay? I think that could be used that way. But if this is the last day, 24 hours, this passage isn't talking about that. It is talking about the rapture that will occur before great tribulation of the Lord comes upon the earth. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, that's the speech and that's the language of the Lord referring to the saved that are dead. To the Lord, it's as sleep. Because in John chapter 5, as the Father has life in himself and gives life to whomsoever he will, so the Son has life in himself also, right? He saves, that's a spiritual thing, and then those that are dead, he calls back from the dead. Okay? And he'll do that for his children. He said, well, them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. He referred to Lazarus that way. And he said, well, if he's asleep, he's doing good, taking a nap. And then the Lord said plainly, Lazarus is dead. Okay? Brethren, concerning them which are asleep in Christ, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So those that are not saved have no hope. Hope in Christ or no hope at all. Rest in Christ or no rest at all. Salvation in Christ or no salvation at all. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we? Yeah, we do. I do. Don't you? Amen. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again some 2,000 years ago, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, there's that reference again, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, the apostle declares, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. Will not go before them, will not hinder them in any way. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump, and with the trump of God. So there's some things that the children of God are going to hear. Remember how it was when the Lord appeared to the apostle or to Saul on the road to Damascus, they saw something, they heard something, but didn't quite hear what it was. Other times that the Lord, that the Father spoke from heaven, it was to some they heard a thundering or something. They didn't hear what was said. You know, this is going to be that way. Will the heathen hear these things? I tell you what, one thing I know, the children of God will hear these things. The children of God will hear these things. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So there'll be that shout. With the voice of the archangel. So the voice of the archangel, the shout, is that the same as the voice of the archangel? I don't know. With the trump of God, that's something yet additional. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Okay, so the Lord's coming in the clouds. Okay? To meet the Lord in the air. Okay, so there the Lord's in the air, not touching down on Olives, Mount of the Mount of Olives. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We have our brothers and sisters in Christ that have died, have gone on to be with our Lord, and we need to know that they will have a body again, and our Lord will raise them again. And if we are the generation to see the return of our Lord, we'll be caught up together with them, and we'll see our Lord. Yeah, I think about that. The circumference of the earth is 24,000 miles, and the Lord will come from heaven, right, to the second heaven, and these things will be proclaimed, the voice and the trump and the shout, and around the world, the children of the Lord will hear it, and he will catch us up in a moment. You think about travel. We had some family travel across the country. Maybe 2,000, 2,500 miles. Took them all day to get here and all day to get back. And Brother Gordon Downs and his wife came from over at Thailand, right? Halfway around the world. Took them 20-some hours to get back to the States. This is going to happen in an instant. In an instant. And no, not a child of God will be missed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, verse number 1, ye have no need that I write unto you. You know. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So, this is not talking about the rapture of the saints, is it? This is talking about those that will stand in fear of the judgment and the rule of the Lord. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction, verse 3, cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. That's the reason for the weeping and the wailing. When a woman is with child and it comes time for her to deliver, there is no changing that. You ladies who have delivered children, you know that well. When that and see, that'll be the thing, is that this will be an event unto them, to the heathen, of eternal consequences. When those without Christ see the Lord Jesus Christ coming in that day, as we've mentioned, in that day of the Lord, when he comes to rescue Israel and to begin his 1,000-year reign, they will know who he is. And they will know what he's there to do, and there will not be one place to run to or escape. There's no changing. There's absolutely no changing their state. They're there. They have been defiant against the Lord. They have been defiant against Him. And there will be no escaping that. Okay? Verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. We will be with the Lord. The children of God will. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night. Well, see, this that's been mentioned here in this chapter is for those who are of the night or of darkness. We're the children of light, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Okay? Don't be drunken. And be discreet and watch. Let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. Three things there. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Drunken with the way of this world. Drunken with the ability of man. Oh, we've got great technology and great advancement. We've discovered about the origins of this world and universe and the universe. You know, we know it all and more, even though we don't know it. I mean, that's what man declares. We're the boss. We get it. We're number one. No, we're not. Drunken. Yeah, wise as people, as mankind is wise in his own conceits. And yet a fool before God. For they that sleep in the night. What happens in the night? It's hard to see, isn't it? I didn't have the lights on in the building here. Of course, we got some lights that we got to replace outside, but it's hard to see outside when it's dark, isn't it? But we're the children of the light. We get it. We see what the Lord has told us in His Word. They do not. They do not. They're drunken with the sinfulness and the humanistic way. But let us who are of the day, verse 8, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith in the Lord, right? And love one for another, love for our Lord, love for the sinner, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Our salvation is a complete salvation. Salvation of the soul, salvation of the life as we live, and salvation of the body when Jesus comes back. Amen? For God hath not appointed us to wrath. See, these things up here, the times of the season, brethren, I have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly, the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them. On them, not us. We're delivered. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, refer to the previous chapter, right? Right? Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, right? Whether we go by being alive at the rapture or being in the grave at the rapture, right? We should live together with Him. That's where He wants us. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We're not of that crowd at the end. We're of that crowd and of the children of the Lord when He comes for His saints. So the article reads that at the last day, Christ will descend from heaven. Well, He's going to descend from heaven a couple different days. But if we look at that as the time and the working of the Lord, we can refer to it and understand that way. But if that day is just 24 hours, then these scriptures don't apply to just one 24-hour day, but a couple of them. All right. And then portion number 3. Christ will descend from heaven and raise the dead from the grave to final retribution. Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, our target verse is verse number 15. Let's get the whole sentence, verse 14. Acts 24, verse number 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, Paul speaking, so worship I the God of my fathers. And the way of heresy was what? That Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Christ, is the Messiah, is the one that all the passages of the Old Testament are about. After the way they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, that they all pertain to Christ. Verse 15. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Okay, so looking a long way down there, yeah, there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. But as we know, the scriptures bear out, they are at separate times. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. The resurrection chapter. The gospel defined at the beginning, and that's a great, concise defining and telling of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the rest of this chapter dealing with the resurrection. The resurrection. How can it be? Oh, how can this be? How can that be? How is it possible? With God, all things are possible, and He has ordained it so. Let's look into this a little bit. 1 Corinthians 15, let's read here at the beginning. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Right? It's by the gospel of Jesus Christ that we stand. Amen? That's the beginning of all things. By which also ye are saved. As by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how we've been saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, if it's for real within you, is it? Unless you've believed in vain. Can one believe in vain? Sure can. John chapter 8, look at those folks that believed and the way they believed. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. It applied to Paul. It applies to us. It is the way of salvation. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. A saved person can say that. But that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again according to the Scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. You can go speak to them, and they'll tell you they saw Jesus alive. After he had died on Calvary's hill. But some are fallen asleep or are dead. After that he was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all he's seen of me also as of one born out of due time. And at least at Damascus, on the road to Damascus, he saw the Lord. And then we know the apostle Paul, we believe there in the latter part of 2 Corinthians, he's modest and wanting to tell about it. But I believe he's speaking about himself. He was taken up into the third heaven. He was as an apostle, he was allowed to see things that that very few have seen. Verse number 12. These are our verses. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? Okay? So if we preach the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, how is it that someone would undertake to be the Lord's people, one of his churches, church here at Corinth is being addressed by the apostle? What are you preaching and teaching if there's no resurrection of the dead? If we're saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're preaching there's no resurrection of the dead? What's that all about? See, remember, who was it that had an issue with the resurrection of the dead? The Sadducees. That's the reason they're sad. You see, right? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. So you understand this. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ didn't raise from the dead. Those things are connected. See, Jesus, God, is a God of life. He's a God of the living. Understand that. Mark that down. Know that. God is not death. God is life. Life, 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 forevermore. Yes, Jesus became a man so he could enter into death, but death could not keep him. He's God. He's alive. Alive. He always has been alive. He always will be alive. But Jesus, God the Son, became a man so he could die, but it could not hold him. And so he presents this to them. You say there's no resurrection of the dead. If you say that, then Christ didn't raise. Because see, if Jesus is the Savior of a soul, then that soul is going to be with him. He didn't do this just to fiddle around and play around and dabble in stuff. If Christ rose from the dead, if Christ brought salvation to sinners, sinners that are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, His power and His gospel are going to be with Him. It can be no other way. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, listen, then our preaching is vain. You've just taken the gospel and blown it up. You've taken the gospel and made it void. You take any part of the gospel away, it's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you take the resurrection part of the gospel away from it. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith is vain, also empty. You're believing in a Savior that hadn't done anything. Because the power of God that by which that the Lord Jesus Christ, even though He was dead, could take His life back again and raise from the dead. Yea, listen, it goes beyond that. We are found false witnesses. That makes us liars. They go around preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of sinners. He said, this is serious business, you saying that there's no resurrection. You need to get rid of that. You need to throw that in the ditch, throw that in the trash, because look what you do and you break down the gospel. You destroy by that thinking. You destroy that by which we are saved. If that's the case, we're liars. We're liars. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ. So Christ came, lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and then rose again. But there's not going to be a resurrection. I mean, the Lord created a physical earth with physical people. And you know what? There's going to be a physical earth with physical people. A physical heaven with physical people. The Lord is not going to unwind anything that He's done or purposed to do. He's going to make it complete. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Understand, they're inseparably connected. The children of God raised from the dead and have bodies like Christ. If that's not so, then Christ didn't raise from the dead. And you know full well that He did. Remember the testimony up here? Scene of 500 brethren at once. We tell the folks in the jail, the way the system works, you're accused of a crime. You're apprehended. You're put in jail. You have a trial. What's supposed to happen at the trial is that the truth comes out. The truth comes out, and you're guilty, then that dread of that punishment finally comes down to a head at the time of sentencing, and then you serve your punishment, okay? If they tell you that they've got one witness against you, you say, okay. And let's say you're guilty. They tell you they've got two witnesses against you, and you say, man, that's not looking too good. Three witnesses, not looking good. They tell you they've got 500 witnesses against you. You're done. It's over. I mean, you can wipe out half of them and there's still 250 witnesses against you. That's the point that the brother's making. It's been witnessed. And you can talk to those brethren now that they saw Jesus Christ alive. So understand, If the children of God do not raise from the dead, then Christ didn't raise from the dead. Because Christ is alive and he has his children with him. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, liars, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, so you say, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is empty, vain, empty. Ye are yet in your sins, plural, sins. All those sins, all that disobedience and wickedness against God, every single one of those are right there on you. And we're what? We're back to John chapter 3. Condemnation rests squarely upon you. But see, we know that Christ did raise from the dead. They knew it. We know it. And since Christ lives, we're going to live, we who are saved. Are you saved? Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You need him, or you'll not live. You will not live. We point you to him.